Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to ThinkBigRadio.com. I'm Ray Vision, your host, and I'm with my co-host, Nefri Amini, and you're listening to Ponder This. Ponder This is a series focusing on the art of allowing, trusting, being, and finding inner self. Ponder This will explore new ways of thinking. Through a conversational journey, we will be questioning and discussing the art of allowing, trust, being, and how finding inner self can bring us to a place of abundance in life where we can begin to focus on bigger things. So let's get ready to ponder this.
Hey, good morning, Amini. How are you?
Good morning. I'm blessed. Very, very blessed. How are you?
Oh, good, good. Did I just call you by your last name?
You did. I liked it.
Okay. I'm still waking up to and getting it together.
It doesn't happen that often. I like it and I accept it.
Okay, cool. It has been a crazy, crazy couple of weeks for me.
Oh, likewise.
So we have this topic today. We're going to let our people know that we're talking about money this morning. And should be a very interesting topic from both of our points of view. So, you know, as always, I want to get started. I have a definition. We always want to start off with the definition of whatever it is that we're talking about. And so the definition of money, they say, is a current medium of exchange in the form of coins and banknotes. Coins and banknotes collectively. So that is how money is defined. But for you, you know, what is your definition of money?
Currently, or as it's been fed to me, and as I grew up and all that. I guess I'll give you both. You know, like
as you grew up would be better. We can always get to the point of where we are now.
Yeah, I grew up with the understanding that money was a problem. That money was something that there was never enough of, and money, how's it go, is the root of all evil. And that that money is the thing that was the money was the thing that was the problem. And to not have enough of it was definitely a problem, but to also have too much of it was such a bad thing, too. You know, those people who don't have money are going through it and they're the victims, but those who have too much, they're wicked. And and they cause problems for others. So it was this double-edged thing that I can now see, like, it never even made sense then, but it made me grow up with the mentality that I was on my total hippieism. I was just like, I'm on kumbaya and I just want to live off the land and I don't want to make any money. And as I was making art and people would try to buy it from me, I was like, it's not for money. It's just for my personal pleasure. I'll give it. And my brother had to call me out, like, all this living off the land you're talking. How much money do you think that land is going to cost you? And that was he hit me with that around 20 years old. I was like, oh, money cost, land costs money? Like, I can't just be free from it. And then it took me a minute to realize that it was only a system of exchange. And I had that was my next step, you know, getting older and recognizing that it's just an agreed-upon system. It just means that I could have a red napkin and we could both agree that if I give you a red napkin, then yes, you will come and cook dinner and I will do whatever. But it was just what we agreed upon would be our symbol of agreement, which is actually a beautiful thing, you know, to have an organized system of giving with these symbols that say, yep, we both agree to this, and that's money. But now I know that there are multiple currencies.
Like back in the day, I think they were exchanging tea leaves as money, and then it became a particular type of flower that if you had the seeds of a particular type of flower, I think this was back in England, I don't remember where I saw that. But, you know, and corn has been an exchange, and sugar, and gold, then it became metals, and, well, I think that's been around for a while, the different metals.
And then in Ghana, it was the cowrie shells, you know, and
right.
How many cowrie shells, and that gets cumbersome.
Yes, it does. You know,
it's a practical thing.
Right. It's like the mining of gold. I guess you're always mining for cowrie shells at the seashore, and how many could you collect, and that would make you rich. You know, it's just amazing how what was used, you know. And you know, we look at today, and it's, you know, a piece of paper in America, which I understand is actually made out of cotton. So I gotta look that up too. So, but we're calling it paper right now, the dead presents,
okay.
Or what, you know, that we exchange for cars and houses and land. Yes, land costs money. And at one point, we actually had the barter system as a currency. You know, if you've got milk and I've got eggs, you know, we could do a lot together.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that was a little bit reasonable, and that's why everybody worked. You know, you worked to grow or create your currency if it was a chair that you exchanged for a table. Not really sure how that would work, but because they actually go together.
There's actually
Again?
I was going to say, there's this universal, they call it a universal community. It's Auroville that's located in southeast India in the Tamil region. But they have an entire community, again, this international, universal community, people from all over the world, and it's huge. But no money exists within the community. The entire small nation exists off of a process of exchange. So nobody can own any of the land. No one can own any of the houses. It's all owned collectively. They have their farms. They have their research labs. They have their schools. They have their merchandise that they make, you know, but everything is just an exchange of services that's agreed upon.
That's interesting. I wonder how
they
built those research labs and they have to exchange something to get those.
Right,
you know,
something
those,
has to be exchanged with the outside community.
Right.
But I also think, you know, in order to, I mean, the physical space is where you come down to needing to have that exchange of trade with an outside community. But, I mean, I read an article, is it the Something of Capitalism? The divine right of capitalism, but basically in any science lab or research lab, the most profitable and valuable commodity in it, it's not the physical lab, it's the people. It's their mind.
Oh, yeah.
And so when corporations are selling, or when one corporation buys another, it's talking about they're not selling the corporation, they're selling their employees, they're selling the scientists, they're selling the thinkers, so... If we actually place that much value on the human mind and use that as a, consider that to be a value to be exchanged, well, then that would just move us to a whole other level.
Well, you know, I posted on Facebook the other day that if we invested in our children, their thoughts, their creativity, their talent, like we invested or like, if we invested in our children, there would be so much value placed and the riches would have been had as if we had invested in McDonald's when they first opened. Because the mind is the thing that expands and actually is the creator of anything. Like, we would not have, you know, bottled water if anybody didn't think about the bottle. Or we wouldn't have bowls to eat out of if we, you know, we really didn't create the bowls, if we didn't have the artists, if we didn't have the crafters, and like you said, if we didn't have the scientists or anything like that, we would not have anything to buy or purchase. And so when you are really looking to invest your money. You're right. It's in the minds of those that are creative. And I think we, you know, I kind of grew up, you know, thinking or was taught about money like you. Oh, you know, money doesn't grow on trees, you know. You know, yeah. It is the root of all evil, you know. You know, I think, and I will say this, you know, religion killed it for me or my parents. You know, I got out of that in thinking and, you know, have come into a place of knowing really what abundance is and that there is no lack. And but, you know, growing up, you know, that's what the preacher taught. You know, it's a sinful thing, you know, to have money. You, it creates, you know, evil and, you know, destruction. And I'm like, but, you know, the riches of the rich have it, and they're giving to the poor, and they're building homes, and they're feeding people. We got to give money to feed people. That's what these nonprofit organizations are doing. So, like you said, it is a double-edged sword. And I'm like, do these people, as a child, do these people know what they're saying? Do they even understand? And then you had, what, a Reverend Ike, right, that was back out in the day, and he was trying to preach prosperity. And from what I understand, you know, people thought he was crazy, you know. No, you know, what he was doing was, you know, tricking people into thinking that your thoughts could create, you know, or your thoughts would create this abundant lifestyle.
Is that how this went down? There was this Reverend that was preaching to people that he could, that they could have an abundant lifestyle based on their mind?
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Yeah, my father thought he was a little quirky. I remember the conversations in my family about, you know, Reverend Ike, oh, my God, that guy's a quack, you know. People, from what I understand, were becoming prosperous, those that followed his teachings. And, you know, if you really want to go back and study Jesus, he was, you know, really an agnostic. You know, that's what that is. It's your thoughts. I mean, if you read the Bible, you know, you are what you think, you know, the power of the word, you know. So if you want for something, then you call it out, and it is. Yeah. And money is the currency that helps, because whatever nation that you're talking about, that particular village or, you know, town, you know, that works, or country that works that way, I get it. And what they're probably doing is creating products to sell on the outside, that finance comes into the government, not used for the people, but to, you know, get certain things that they need to supply, you know, these facilities that they're building. And the scientists come in that are educated for free. Oh, I can only imagine how that is. And they put in their work and their effort now that they've got the tools. So the money that they bring in is only so that they can purchase again from the outside what it is that they need. I think that's an awesome system.
Mm-hmm.
That is awesome. And you can't, for me, you know, money has created a divide in this country, the poor versus the rich, the middle class that's supposedly disappearing. You know, it creates that, now starts to create a fear. Oh, we're not making enough money to survive.
The belief of black people versus white people, you know. The belief that, okay, well, it's only the white people that have the wealth and the black people that are poor.
Right. And so, that's interesting. Because, yeah, poor people are usually people of color. You don't think about those in West Virginia and what they call the poor white. But, you know, whenever you want to see anyone rich in any type of media, you know, they're usually white. Very rare will you see a rich black person. Even when the Cosby shows came out, and, you know, a nice, affluent middle class, even black people like, oh, that never happened. You know, the Cosby show?
Yeah.
And,
and he said he had to go through so much red tape just to do that.
Really?
Red tape just to... He just said, I just want a normal middle-class family that is black. you said, producers and whatnot, they were like, well, can we make it a single-family home? Can we make it where the daughter, the teenage daughter is pregnant? Can we? They wanted to throw in all these things to make it more believable for black people, and he just had to stick to his line of, this is a regular middle-class family that is black. That's it.
Which I grew up around, so it was a normal show for me.
Mm-hmm. I grew up watching it, and I grew up, my earliest memories, and I was on a military base, so by the time I reached a place where I guess we were poor, I never knew that we were poor. You know, it was just like, I like Hamburger Helper. I had took somebody else on me, well, yeah, y'all ate it every day because y'all were poor, but I never felt that. But I think that also goes into, you know, something else about, you know, your external world is dictated by your internal one. And mm-hmm. I never had lack around me. There was never anything that I wanted. Sure, every kid wants every little thing they see on a television commercial. I knew that wasn't going to happen, but as far as food and love and time to play and blankets and snuggle time, it was like I had it all. So
right.
Poverty wasn't in my mind. I didn't know that my mom was struggling to make sure lights stayed on.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, see, what you talked about is the true essence of being rich. It is to have that, the love in the family. That's really mm-hmm. the true essence of being enriched and enriched, because that goes a long way. Money can only last as long as you have it in hand. Right?
Right.
So, I think a lot of people have these false notions around what money can do.
Mm-hmm.
And we, again, I think a lot of that is based on society, and I really think, you know, we talk about this hidden power, you know, that creates these fears. And so part of the fear is to, or part of the strategy, so that not everybody can be abundantly rich or have wealth, is to make people think a certain way, that money is the root of all evil, that, if you are not making a certain amount, then you can't get the cars and the homes and the things that you want, or you're not worthy enough to make this money. And so there's just different things that are implanted in our society, and then as parents, unfortunately, they take on that role of creating that fear in that child so that it continues. So whatever they learn, you know, they'll teach to their child, and
exactly.
that child. So it's like a cancer. People don't understand. But when you really understand how life works and really understand that the power of your destiny is in the choices that you make through thought, then you can flip the script. And that is my testimony. Literally, flip the script of what actually comes to you and what is actually provided for you. It's just amazing to see mm-hmm. that when you need something, it's provided without mm-hmm. effort. You don't need to work so hard. And that's what I think. You work 20% and allow the 80% to come into you. I think that was a rich dad, poor dad thing. But when for me, it's understanding the laws of the universe and knowing the essence of physics, right?
Okay.
And putting the mental effort out there to attract the things. You are what you attract, right? Even the Bible mm-hmm. says that somewhere.
We are.
Yeah, we attract. Yeah, birds of a feather flock together. Mm-hmm. And so if you're flocking with those that are endowed with finances or endowed with creativity, whatever it might be, then the money will follow. It's especially if it's pure in heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you stop the worry and stop the fear, then you will start seeing the money pour in. Money is nothing but a tool. It's like a calculator or a pencil or an iPad. It is a tool to get you to where you desire to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, kind of where I'm at with it. And that's just learning through life experiences and studying life, you know. In terms of money, I'm like, oh my God, yeah, don't worry about it, it will show up. And it's amazing how it shows up. Can I give you an example?
I was just about to say, okay, so now for people who are listening or anybody that listens and says, well, that sounds pretty Pollyanna and Kumbaya and far out there, what does a practical example of that look like?
Well, let me tell you something. I was living in Bed-Stuy, a couple doors down from where you're at.
Hi. Hi, my name
and,
is.
Hi.
I didn't know you did.
And, I needed some money for my cell phone. My cell phone was about to get cut off, and I'm like, and I'm an entrepreneur. I've been an entrepreneur. I left my job in 2005, and life was getting tight, really tight. And this one day, because we had just hit, it was 2008, we had just hit the recession, and I'm like, oh, my God. Businesses were closing down like crazy. So this one time, I needed to pay my cell phone to keep my business on, pretty much on and running, right? So really wasn't thinking about it, but, you know, it was a part of my concerns. Like, I just got to get my cell phone on. Like, what can I do? Who do I need to collect money from, and, you know, what's out there, that type of thing. And so I walked out my door this morning. I wasn't even thinking about it, no thoughts whatsoever. I was just out and about. I had to do running around. I had enough money to get on the train and do what I had to do for the day. And so I'm walking out the door, and I'm walking down the street trying to get to the A train, and a car beeps. And I looked back, because she had already passed me, and I looked back, and a hand comes out and just waves me to the car and calls my name. So I go to the car, and I recognize the voice. I went to the car, and she says, you know, Spirit told me to do this for you. So she puts something in my hand. And I grab it, you know, it looked like a drug deal, danger. If anybody was really watching too closely, it looked like an exchange or something. And I said, thank you. She says, you have a good day. And I said, I will. And so I was walking around the corner, and I was going to go put it in my pocket and come to find out that she gave me $100. I'm like, oh. Just as I think my cell phone, what I needed was 95. Yeah, that is what I needed. It's coming to me now. I needed 95, and she gave me 100.
I love it.
Thank you.
And just, I have a story similar, and this is when I first started getting into understanding, like, okay, what people may call law of attraction, the power of our mind. It was my brother that was hipping me to it, but he was also saying, looky here. Basically, he was putting a great responsibility on me. He was like, you are the most creative person in this family, so I not only expect you to get this, I expect you to get this and run with it for everybody. So he's like training me in. This is about 5-6 years ago. And he said, you know, all you got to do is basically see and visualize the amount of money that you want, you know. And so I said, okay, I'm going to ask for $500. He was pissed. $500 with all your creativity? Man, so he's going off on me. I said, but it's only going to work if I ask for the amount of money that I can actually believe. And I was like, and I got to work with where I am, okay? I'm just jumping into this. So every day I began to say for about a week, and because I needed it. It was really a need. It was like $500 is in my account. So anytime I found myself walking to the train or, you know, about to pick up a phone call or going to bed, I would just keep saying, I'm so grateful. Thank you so much. $500 is in my account. $500 is in my account. Well, I was running up on my deadline for that $500 being needed. And I thought, I'm about to have to reach out and ask for help. Like, I don't want to borrow money from anybody. I definitely don't want to call my mama. But she called me, and she said, you know, I saw that email you sent out about where you are with schooling and this and that, and she said, and I was just doing some math, and she said, and I don't know how much everything costs, but to me that looks like about $500. And I like, yeah. And she said, well, I didn't want to share this with you because she had asked me not to. She said, but an aunt of mine who is, you know, the levels of poverty in my family, you couldn't probably imagine it, but she falls at one of the lower levels of it. She had been in a car accident about 10 years ago. And she says, you know, and she's been going back and forth, and, well, she just finally got her disbursement, and she didn't want me to say it to you, but she just said, can you please give her $500? She goes, I wanted to mail it to you as a gift, but it seems like you might need it today, so I'm just going to go ahead and put it in your account.
Oh, wow. And
this is within 1 week time. This is not an aunt I talk to on a regular basis. Just, oh, you're on the phone with Susie? Hi. And we move on. But last time I've seen her, it's been like probably 10 years.
Right, wow.
It was a great exercise in knowing that it does feel kumbaya, but it is possible. I don't know if you're familiar with the scientist Jewel Punkrum.
No.
But... She's also, you know, very, very wise sister. I think she's here in Brooklyn. But she also has a radio show where she was promoting this. She said, whatever it is that's needed, you know, she was talking about a group of people that were living without money, and when she was asking, well, how? She was like, well, it's not that we do. We just ask for what we need when we need it, and it always comes.
Yeah.
It sounds so hocus-pocus. You know?
Yeah, for those... For those who don't believe or have never had the experience or understand the power behind it, yeah, it sounds hocus pocus.
Because what we're talking about is just one aspect of it. Money is just one of the things you can use your mind for. But what we're really talking about is the wealth of resources and energy which is inside this tool called the human body.
Mm-hmm.
It is in an antenna system with the universe. You know, God has built, you know, this amazing antenna system called the human being. We have more electricity running through us than New York City.
Yeah.
And it's about knowing how to use your vessel, knowing how to use your electricity system. We know how to flip on the light switch and cut on the light in our house. Do we know how to flip on the light switch in ourselves and provide whatever light we're needed for our house? And
that's right.
Some people, I believe you could even do this, which I do believe that I do. I frequently do it without money. What does that mean? It means that you can do it by just calling in. If you have all the resources you need at that point, do you really need money? Money is just a step to the resource.
Exactly.
So you could also just call to you everything that you want and need and bypass that extra step if you like to. Call to you the home, call to you the safety, call to you the friendships, call to you the relationships, call to you the employment, call to you the support, which I need to say that for myself right now. While I'm feeling overwhelmed, like I'm trying to do too much and I'm just one person. But,
you have the season right now, to be honest with you. But I get it. And you're right. It is, my faith, it's not my belief, because belief is a lesser version of faith. Belief is, oh, yeah, I believe that, and then tomorrow you may not. But, you know, belief to me is a little... So my faith is that, you know, the power of the word actually creates the existence of the word. It's your feelings on your journey that actually gets you to execute or implement it into a reality. And so if your journey is a pleasure and a love and a, you know, ex- excitement, then you will manifest all that you want instantly or in time.
Yes. I want to throw a book out there, too, that was a great eye-opener for me, for people who are interested in paying attention to this and to how to use this tool of ourselves. But The Power of Your Subconscious Mind by Joseph Murphy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the book that, you know, to me, it breaks down in such a clear way. But there's been many, you know, but that's the one that led me into the many, where the mind, this has its two parts, your conscious mind and your subconscious mind. And that, which one is the subordinate mind? It is your subconscious mind that is totally subordinate. It is, it will do and feel whatever you feed to it. So when you use your conscious mind and you feed to your subconscious, you know, like, I'm afraid, your subconscious mind is going to channel that out to your body, the feeling of fear. It's no different. And if you feed consciously into your mind that I am happy and I am wealthy, then it's going to also trickle throughout the rest of your body, and your subconscious mind can't help but to activate it. It
right.
does not have the ability to do its own thinking. It is simply the receiving mind, and then your body generates.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm no scientist on it, so I can't say the details of how all of it works, but I just know that I've experienced it enough to know that it does.
Well, I can put a little science behind it.
Please.
Okay. If everything in the universe is a vibration, it's no different than a radio wave. So our bodies are vibration. Our thoughts, our words are all vibrations. That vibration has a frequency. Everything of like frequency matches. And so when you put out a frequency into the universe of waves, it's going to match up and attract that same frequency. So what you're doing is, what's on the other end, let's say, it's like a magnet, right? And a magnet is a wave of magnetism, that's for lack of understanding the language of the science. And so of like, this is where of like minds will align. So if you have a magnet across the world that has a strong vibration to reach the magnet of its aligned self on the other side of the world, then they will come together. So your thoughts of positivity are on a frequency that that's going to match with what you manifested, because it's on the same frequency that you put it out. So if it is, oh, you know, I really would like a vacation. So the vacation has now been created in your frequency, within the universe, as above is below. And so it hears you, in a sense, through that frequency. Your frequency is 7.8. And that vacation that you just created through word but is up in the universe is 7.8. And everything that is 7.8 in between, the person that is selling you the ticket, the ship that you're going to be sailing on will be at that port at the time that you want to take your vacation. The crew, everything will be on that same frequency and will manifest into itself to make it your reality. Even if you do not put out the call, I want a trip by doing sales calls. You know, I'm like, I needed a vacation at that time. I never took it, but I didn't take advantage of it. Listen, but it came.
Mm-hmm.
Because the universe says you need to be on a vacation. You want to be on a vacation. And I instantly called it in by calling a radio station thinking I was calling a farm, and I was the 15th caller. And I won, you know, this cruise. And actually, they called me yesterday. Hey, are you going to take this cruise? I'm like, ah, you know. But, you know, so that's pretty much the science of it. And that's why, you know, in religion they say prayers work. So you're putting up a frequency link, right? And that frequency is going to match that person that you're speaking to. You're going to call out the name. And then that it goes up and it comes down. And it's the frequency of healing, the frequency of love, the frequency of peace, the frequency of anything that you put out. And it works the same way with fear, with poverty, with anything negative, you know, hate. You know, you're going to draw unto you what you think. So if you're going to think war, then yes, you will be drafted, or war will come to you, or your house will be broken into, or these certain things will happen and you're wondering why. And that's why I say shut off the television, because that is what you are concentrating on, and you're bringing it to your doorstep. If you want your children to be safe, then protect them from your heart, you know, when they walk out into the streets. That's why some people pray before they leave the home. But you can't pray, leave the home, and then be fearful at the same time. It won't work. It's got to be a consistent focus on that and staying in that frequency in order for it to really work and manifest itself in your life.
Okay. So now, for a real practical then breakdown of how somebody could say, because what I heard you say in that science is, yeah, your frequency just has to match up. Your frequency has to match the level of what it is that you're asking for. What would you recommend for a person who is maybe thinking it's hocus pocus, but thinking maybe there's something valid to that, to their first step for being able to change their frequency? The first step needed for being able to walk toward changing their thoughts.
Okay, I can tell you what that is, because it was my first. I read a book by Deepak Chopra called Synchronicity.
Okay, hey Deepak.
And there was homework in there to say, be thankful. Be thankful for everything in your day. And I did that. The power of being
gratitude.
Thanksgiving, is the most powerful form of change. I mean, you have to be ready and prepared for it, because after that, I did it for a week, and that's all it required. I got everything I asked for and more, to the point that it was almost like it was falling out of the sky. And I stopped because I was so afraid of this power that I had to manifest the things that I wasn't even thinking about. That week was an awesome week, but that week scared the living hell out of me.
Because
that I stopped.
You put the focus on, for a week, being grateful, of taking your present moment and acknowledging the things you're grateful for. Like, I'm really grateful for these thick, warm, fuzzy socks I'm wearing right now. In a true way, not in a fake way.
Yeah.
You know, I'm really grateful for the way the light is hitting the curtains. I'm grateful that I have yellow ribbon. You know, I'm things like that. And by just training your mind all day long to choose to see and to acknowledge that over choosing to see and acknowledge the alternative, the things that we're bogged down by, that we are pissed about, that we're not grateful for, that we don't appreciate, that we feel afraid of, that we feel victim to, that we feel challenged by, that we feel bullied by, to just for a week, maybe even starting with a day, to try to set aside all of the internal wars and external wars, the psychological fights, the emotional conflicts, and just to say, I'm going to say thank you all day long in a true way for the smallest thing.
For the smallest thing. I mean, I was, for every step I took, for reaching the corner, for getting on the subway, for breathing, for being able to sit down, for combing my hair and brushing my teeth, you know, sitting down for a meal, seeing a friend on the street. So that's what I was thankful for, whole week, and
I'm gonna tell a story before I imagine what step two would be, because if step one is just getting ourselves down,
We got a little bit less than 4 minutes, just to let you know.
Oh, okay. So I met a woman on the airplane one time, and I always meet these amazing people when I sit next to on airplanes. But she was a writer and telling me how she is a Christian writer, and that she never, ever, ever wanted to be one of those writers, you know, this Christian writer. And then it came to the point where her life, her marriage, everything falling apart. But she had a baby, and she had everything on schedule so she could keep on with her work, and she knew the time that the baby was going to begin to wake up from the nap. She said, so let me just go ahead. I got the bottle ready. And she went ahead and she just stood upstairs right outside the baby's room with the warm bottle already in hand, listening for when the baby would begin to stir. And she goes, and then it just smacked her, that if I love my child this much, that I would already know what that child is going to need when they get to the place of needing it, that I already have it standing here waiting outside the door. She said, our Creator is no different.
Right.
Everything that we want and need is already sitting right there outside the door with the listening ear for, are you ready for it yet? Have you began to stir yet? So I would imagine if step one is leveling out to raise the vibration to gratitude for everything that is, that step two would be, now, go ahead and start expressing gratitude for the things that are waiting outside the door for you, the things that are already there just waiting for you to stir. So if you know that's the new house, I'm so grateful for this new home that is coming to me. I'm so grateful for every specific of that new home, from kitchen space to island to bay windows to hardwood floors to clawfoot bathtub, that I know is already waiting.
Exactly.
Gratitude for what we have. Gratitude for what we want, as though it already is, because it's there outside the door.
It exists as soon as it becomes thought, and that part of that gratitude in step three would be to receive. In the process of being grateful, your heart must be open to receive. And the thing is, it doesn't really stem from the mind, it stems from the heart. When you can learn to meditate from the heart and not the mind, that's why the mind has to be silent. You meditate from the heart and you concentrate. And if you can take your thoughts to where your heart is and learn to feel from there in your gratefulness and your thankfulness, and then open it up to receive, then you have harnessed the best thing in life. And all that it is that you desire becomes yours.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That
was great.
Yeah, it balanced me out. It gave me reminders that I needed to have this morning, because you can know it and still forget to practice.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So.
Yeah. And that's a routine. I think I catch it whenever I feel like, oh, I'm not in it. So I start, you know, just being thankful and then I'm putting my mind there, but I do like to start my morning off with certain music and certain mantras, in a sense, and thoughts. And I think the first thing I do when I get up in the morning is thank the universe for allowing me to be here. And then I actually open up my window and I thank the trees and the air and the sky and the ground for being in my sight. You know, I love nature. And you know, I love listening to the birds, and you know, I'm thankful for the ability to hear and see. And then I'll go about my day.
Awesome.
But we can close it out. We've got less than 30 seconds to do so. I think this was an awesome conversation. I almost don't want to stop.
Yeah, I guess the question I would leave is for us to be, I have it written on my wall, Nefri, what's your intention for today? What do I want to create within this day given? And if I can think of that, then I can begin my gratitude work.
Awesome.
And to not be afraid either.
Okay. Well, there it is, folks. thank you all for listening to ponder this, and take the rest of the time to be grateful. Thank you.
I thank you, Brother Ray Vision.
Okay, that is it. That is it.
Are we online still?
We're about to end it now.
Oh, look. Hi.